Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You join me by the way of WION, and that numbers are 92.7 FM, or ION your I-1430 AM, or over in the lower Eater area, 100.3 FM. And we welcome each and every one of you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. I welcome you. I also want to welcome those of you that's tuned me in by the way of my website. My website is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up. And then when you click on the top one of Current Media, then that message will be for today. Whatever way you join me, I'm just happy to have you be a part of our broadcast time this morning. Gloria Spencer is one of them that helps cover the cost of our doing the broadcast time, and so I need to say thanks to Gloria Spencer. She does it in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. She's from Orleans. Doug and Noreen Lane, family from the Sheridan area. He just recently retired and got a hold of me and told me that he has now a limited income, so he's not able to support the broadcast. But Doug and Noreen, I just want to thank you for the many years that you did that and your faithfulness to that, and we just thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast time together. A big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from Belden and to Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years, and I still attend there what services I can. I haven't been doing very good lately, but we're making some progress, so I'm glad for that. Saturday evening, we gather together at 6:30 at Shiloh, and then Sunday morning, it's at 9 o'clock, a regular service and a contemporary service at 10:45. We also have a campus in Greenville. That's at the old Calvary Baptist Church on the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock. And once again, I want to give a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger, who selects my music each week, and she's done that for a lot of years, and she's been faithful in doing that. So I appreciate that so much. I need to let you know that I have a lot of therapy going on, and they're really working me hard, trying to get my strength back, and it seems to be coming slow, but I guess when you're almost 86, it doesn't bounce back as fast as we would like to see it do so. And we're hoping that my voice will make it through the service today. I thank you for putting up with my voice the way it is. We're hoping it's going to be better as we get stronger because it has a lot to do with my breathing and so on. And so I'm trying to get the breathing stronger, and so we just hope that's going to work for the voice as well. Well, I believe that takes care of everything that I need to do to get us started in our service for today. I want to talk about God's makes a visit to you and I, and a visit is to help us to realize that God is a personal God, and he cares about your needs and my needs. He cares about the concerns that we're going through, and so we'll address that in just a few moments, but I got a song that we need to listen to get us started. It's talking about prayer. And it's reminding us of all the prayers that come to God. How does he hear one small voice like yours or mine? And you know, one thing that I've always liked, and I use it a lot when I do funerals, is that God said that his ear is always open unto our cry. And that's just a good thing to know, and that's what this song is trying to address, that thought as well. How does God know? And how can he answer so many different prayers that there are that people ask? And so we hope that we can get this song started. And here we go. And God bless you. And thank you for joining me.
I wonder how it looks from heaven. At the first light of the day, I'm sure you start to hear their voices. When a nation starts to wake, I wonder, do you hear their worries? Do you hear their hopes and fears? Have the things that people ask for really changed much through the years? For I was praying in that number, one voice amid the roar of many millions who were praying, like millions gone before. When somehow you heard a whisper, a desperate call from me to you. I don't know why, but you were listening, and your answer made it through. Lord, I believe you're there and listening to our hopes and dreams and cares. And I'm amazed when I look back and I see all those answered prayers. There must have been a million pleas from folks down on their bended knees. But you keep coming to my rescue again and again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. All the desperate cries for help, I know you're busy up in heaven. So I keep things to myself, and when my load is grown so heavy, friends may lift my name to you. And when they pray, I soon discover that you're listening to them too. Lord, I believe you're there and listening to our hopes and dreams and cares. And I'm amazed when I look back and I see all those answered prayers. There must have been a million pleas from folks down on their bended knees. But you keep coming to my rescue again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. And I want to thank you, but I don't know where to begin. 'Cause you keep coming to my rescue over and over again. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. You did. Somehow you did.
I love that. I don't know how you heard one voice, but you did. And God hears our voice as we come to Him. And we realize that I liked a question in there. Wonder how much the prayers have changed through the year, through the many years, coming to the same God, asking Him for the same thing, a different generation of people. And I'm sure our prayers change by the things we go through in our individual life. I know during this past couple, 3 weeks, my prayers have really changed. I realize that I can still pray for others, but I also realize that I need to say a lot of prayers for myself. And a lot of others have been praying for us, and we've been so grateful. The church has been so good, the church family, in providing food. And we just appreciate that so much. And you know, as we gather together today, I want to remember you, the listening audience, You know, my prayer is that God would bless you in a very special way. So let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come, even though we don't understand how you can totally answer all of the prayers of all of the people. And Father, we come to you with my voice. And Father, we come to you on behalf of the listening audience, that you would be pleased to bless them and minister to them. Whatever their individual needs are, I just pray that you would meet them. I pray this message would be a help as we realize that God is really concerned about our needs, and he's concerned about the things that concern our hearts and lives. And we need to know that this God is a big God, but he still reaches down to each and every one of us. And I appreciate that so much, Father. So I pray for the listening audience. I pray if they have an unspoken request right now, as they think of that unspoken request, that you would focus on that with them, Father. I'm just asking for you to do the best that you can for each and every one. Would you so lead us and direct us that we know that we can have confidence in you. And I'll thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. It's that raspiness that I don't like about my voice. And it makes it hard for you to listen, but I trust you will continue to listen because God's got a good message here for us that he wants to share with us. You know, in our nation and in most worlds today, people just become a number. You know, I don't know how many times when I was in the hospital I had to tell them that I was Ken Harger, Kenneth Dale Harger. My date of birth was 2/16/35. Every time they came around, I had to say it again. I realized that my name is there. And I realize my date of birth is there. But you know, in so many ways, we've become just a number. But God is reminding us today in this message that to him, we're not a number. He knows our voice. We can know him and he can know us. And that's something that is very special. And one of the best portions of scripture that's in the Bible to describe the oneness of God towards us as individuals is Psalm number 23. There's a lot of stories been written about Psalm number 23, and I want to share a story that I came across, a story that I use sometimes when I do a funeral is just a little different than this story. But I didn't happen to find the one that I used, so I just thought, well, I will use this one here. There was a meeting of a speaker that was well known for his ability to be a good speaker. And he had brought together a lot of people together, and they were going to have some special times. And after a wonderful meal, he began to mesmerize the crowd with his voice and reciting poetry and famous selections of speeches, and he was good at it. Near the end of the program, he asked if anyone had a favorite selection they would like to have him to recite. From the back of the room, an old man stood up and kindly asked, "If you wouldn't mind, would you recite the 23rd Psalm?" The speaker said that he would be glad to do it. If when he had finished, if the old man wouldn't mind coming up and recite the psalm as well. The old gentleman nodded his head and sat back down. In a beautiful trained voice that resonated throughout the great room, the speaker began, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And when he had finished, there was a thunderous applause and a standing ovation. He did a beautiful job. Then he looked at the old man and said, "All right, sir, It's your turn now. In a trembling voice that was cracked by time, the old man began to recite, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It is said that when he had finished, there was no applause, but neither was there a dry eye in the building. After the event, someone asked the famous speaker what he thought produced the different response in the crowd. And I love his response. He responded and said, after he thought about it for a few moments, "I know well the 23rd Psalm." But that older gentleman that recited the 23rd Psalm, he knows the shepherd of whom it speaks. I love that. He knows the shepherd of whom it speaks. And that's what made a difference. You know, in that Psalm number 23, there is 14 personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I will not want. It goes on, each one of those personal pronouns. It says to me, you know what? God knows me. And God wants me to be an individual before him. I found a little thing from my Facebook that says, you know, we know that Jesus said when he was here, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep know me," he said. And that was true of every shepherd. But listen, I want you to also remember this morning, our shepherd knows us. He knows us. He knows our voice. He knows all about us. And you know, sometimes when we think about those kinds of things, it bothers us a little bit in our society today. You know, we do a lot of shopping at Meijer's. That's our supermarket that we like to go to. And I know it's just from the computer, but every now and then they send us some special coupons. And those coupons are to help us get something that we buy. They know that we always buy milk, and they send a coupon for milk, for some yogurt, just the things that we buy. And I say to my wife, "Boy, that's scary when you know the supermarket knows the things you buy, but they can track it." And they do, and they give a nice discount. The discount that they sent this week was about $10 worth. So we use everything. We use everything that they said. And then when we turn in that coupon, we save $10 on our grocery order. So I like that. You know what, dear people? God is reminding us. We are a personal individual. And he loves us to know that and to understand that for sure. And God wants to know that one of the things that is so special about him being a personal God is the realization that he cares about our needs. And the things that concern your heart and your life, God cares about that. We need to be reminded. So I thought I'd like to do that for the message today in reminding us of some things that whereby he showed that tremendous concern in days gone by. And the Old Testament, according to the New Testament, tells us that these stories are there for us to learn things from them. And what I want us to learn from this story today is not the possibility of having a baby in old age, but the possibility that God knows, as you and I get older, that he really cares about each one of us. You know, sometimes you might feel as though, as you get older, that old age is not respected too much. But we need to realize that God says he honors the old age. So those of you that are older amongst the listeners this morning, this message, this part of the message is for you. To know that God really cares. There was a couple in the Old Testament. They were Abraham and Sarah. They had been together for many years as husband and wife. and they had gone through many, many difficulties, and they had had many blessings in their individual lives. And this couple was one day, were really late in their life, that got a special message from God was sent to them. And this message was to tell them that they were going to have a baby. Now, one is almost 99, another is almost 100. They're past the time of having a baby. But God sent these messages and said, I know that Sarah's wanted a baby all along. But he said, now she's going to receive this baby. So the messenger said to Abraham, they asked, where's your wife, Sarah? He answered, over there in the tent. The Lord said, I promise that I'll come back next year at this time, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah happened to be listening in at the entrance of the tent, which she was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were old. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And so Sarah laughed to herself, thinking, now that I'm become old, will I enjoy myself again? What's more, my husband is old. The Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, can I really have a child now in my old age? Is anything too hard for God? Anything too hard for the Lord? We need to pause there and let that statement sink in. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Then the messenger said, I'll come back in a year, and I want you to know that Sarah will have a son. Because she was afraid, Sarah denied, and she laughed. But the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. And you know what? A year later, the messenger came back, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he said. And the Lord did Sarah's visit, and he spoke. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son. And Abraham, in his old age, at the very time God had promised him, Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son Sarah, to the son that Sarah born unto him. I love that story for this reason. Not saying that you want to have a baby in old age. Man, I got to tell you, it got to take 18 years to raise him. Sarah's got her hands full. Abraham's got his hands full. That couple have their hands full. We don't want to have babies when we're 100. We don't even want to have babies when we're 80. You know what, dear people? It's not the idea of having a baby. It's the idea, for God's program it was, but not for Sarah and Abraham. The idea was that God really cared about Sarah and Abraham in their old age. And there may be those of you listening to my voice right now that you're up in years, and sometimes you have thoughts like I have. Can't do what I used to do. What good am I now? What can I accomplish now? I'm so glad that I write something on Facebook each morning and share it. That's so special to me that I can still do something like that. But you know what? As we get older, we realize we can't do those kinds of things. I love the idea that we just had, you know, about 4 inches of snow to make it really look like winter. But I got to tell you, I didn't really like the idea. I did like the idea, but I didn't. That my grandson came over and he was using my little quad with a snowplow. Man, of all the things I enjoyed doing in the winter, it was running that snowplow and plowing. I just watched from the window as he was doing it. I'm glad he was there to do it for me. But I also need to tell you, I really wanted to be doing it. He was enjoying something that I've enjoyed and wanted to be a part of my life yet. But sometimes those things don't happen. As we get older, we're not able to do those kinds of things. But I just want to let you know this morning, all of those that are feeling older this morning, that God reminds us that he cares about us. You know what? Matter of fact, you know what? Abraham and Sarah are mentioned in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews. It said Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, he faithfully grew stronger, and it was brought glory, and this brought glory to God. I think it's good to know that even though you're up in years, you can do some little things that bring glory to God. And I just want to encourage the older sheep of the flock this morning, so to speak, that God is saying to you, He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about the difficulties that you are facing in your life. And He wants you to know that He really cares about the things that concern your life. And that's why we need to maybe change our prayers a little bit. Say a few prayers for ourselves and realize that we can be honest with God and let Him know what's going through in our individual life. You know, there's something else that has to do with another baby that also is a story of the Old Testament. God meets the need of a wife that felt she was a failure because she had no children. She really wanted to be a mother. Today's story, or the story I want us to think about next, is the idea that she felt she was missing out on so many things. And she really felt as a woman that she was a failure. And God was concerned about her feeling like a failure. And God wants to help meet her needs. By now, have you guessed who the lady is? Her name is Hannah. And she goes every year with her husband. They go up to the temple. And one day she was in the temple and she was praying. And Eli didn't hear any voice coming, because he's getting older too, the priest of that time. And so he went over and said, "Have you been drinking?" She said, "No, I'm just burdened. I want to have a baby," she said. "I haven't been able to have a baby. And I feel like a failure." And she shared that with him. And Samuel, and what God said to Eli the priest, he said, "About this time next year, you will have a baby." Well, I got to tell you, folks, he didn't really totally believe that, but I'm glad she did to a point of degree, because it's told to us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verses 18 to 21, that the baby was born. And after the baby was born, she brought the baby to the temple, because she had said, "I will raise him for the first few years, and then if God gives me a baby, I'll give him back to be used as a temple servant." And so she brought him to the temple and she left him there. That was a hard thing to do, but she didn't feel like a failure anymore. Now she had somebody in the ministry. Now she had somebody that was willing to share her son to help others. And she did. And you know, as time went on, every year when they would go back to the temple, I'm sure both this couple was very excited about seeing their son. But I'm sure the mother was even more excited. Every year she made a robe, added in how much he might have grown that year. And every year she took that new robe to him. Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen garment. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came with her husband to offer their yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless the husband and wife and say to them, The Lord give you descendants from this woman, for the loan that you have given to the Lord." And they went on to say, then they would go to their house, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived, and she bore three sons and two daughters. And meanwhile, the little child continued to grow as he was serving the Lord there in the temple. How precious is that, folks? We need to get a hold of that for our own life. You know, one of the main thoughts I like in that story is when the priest said, "We want to thank you as husband and wife for the loan of your child." You know, ever since we had the privilege of being a parent, I've always tried to remind my wife and remind myself, these children are only loaned to us. We call them our children. We call them my son and my daughters. We have now grandchildren. We have 17. And I love calling them my grandchildren. Right now we have 9 great-grandchildren. And I love calling them my great-grandchildren. But you know something? The bottom line is they're not really mine. They're the Lord's. Life comes from the Lord. And they've just been loaned to us. I wish never a couple would go through what my wife and I have gone through in our years. But, you know, our second baby only lived 2.5 hours. Her name was Dawn. And she only learned lived two and a half hours. And I remember thinking, well, I've said she was only loaned to us. And our second daughter passed away at age 35. And I had to remind myself again, she was only loaned to us. We call her our daughter, and I still call them my daughters. But we realize they're only loaned to us. I believe as husband and wife, my wife and I have shared 63 years of marriage. But I believe we're only loaned to one another. That's a good lesson for you to learn this morning. Don't take your children for granted. The Lord has loaned them to you. And you know, you should be willing to loan them back to the Lord to be able to receive the blessing that God has for you. You know, the one lesson I want us to learn from Hannah is a realization that when you're given so many blessings, you need to give back. Because you've been blessed, you need to be a blessing. Let me say that again. When you've been blessed, you need to be a blessing. In the book of Proverbs, he said, "The one who blesses others will be blessed." That's God's way of working in your life and in my life. We need to be a blessing to one another. Well, I got to give my voice a little bit of a break, so we're going to listen to a song. And the song we're going to listen to is a song that reminds us, let me be the one that is thankful and grateful to the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus healed 10 lepers. And the 9 went on their way and never even paused to say thank you. But one of the lepers, and he was not even a Jewish man, but he came back and he thanked the Lord. He bowed before the Lord Jesus and told him he appreciated what had been done for him. And that was pretty special. Because, you know, that was something that God really wanted them to do. And all the rest of them didn't do that. This song says, let me be the one. Let me be the one that comes back and says thank you. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
They long to behold their wish he granted. Then they all ran away. One of them returned to him and fell at his feet with tears of joy to the master. Turned and walked away. my prayer, Lord, let me be the one. I came to Jesus, my life full of sin. My dreams were shattered, my world in disarray. But His tender grace my sin erased, and He made my life anew. I've got to praise Him. That's the least that I can do. Let me be the one to say thank you when all others had turned and walked away. If just one soul
let me be the one that stops and says, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what He has done for each one of us. And we realize that God has been good to us. You know, I want to change the pattern of direction just a little bit. I want to move to the New Testament and to the Lord Jesus as He began His ministry. He began very slow, and it began to grow more and more. And pretty soon, every time He was anywhere, there was a crowd of people. A crowd of people would gather around and listen to Him, what He had to say. They realized that when He spoke with authority. They had got used to the scribes and the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the rest of the religious people who were just talking. But it wasn't as live as Jesus was when He was sharing about who God was and how much God cared. And after the Sermon on the Mount, many people would follow Him, and He was always around the crowd. And I love it what Jesus said often when He's seen the crowd. He said He had compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And He wanted to be their leader and director, as we heard about in Psalm number 23. He wanted to be a personal God to them. But there's a group of people following Him at this time, and they're really loving seeing all the miracles that He was performing. There was a lot of sick people, and there was a lot of lame and crippled people. And Jesus was healing them. And that was fantastic to the audience. They just loved seeing a man that couldn't walk. All of a sudden, he could walk. And others were bringing their loved ones who had been going through a lot of difficulty physically or whatever way. And then He would heal them. And they loved seeing the families and how excited they were when their loved one was able to do things that he wasn't able to do. They didn't recognize Jesus as a Son of God. They weren't recognizing Him as the one that could save them from their sins. They was just excited about this one that was doing these things. And they was just glad to be there and be a part of it. Well, this large crowd had gathered together, and it was getting time to leave. And Jesus said something in John 6 to the disciples. Jesus said, "Would you go buy some bread so we can feed these? Because this multitude, I don't want to send them away. I want to feed them." And one of the disciples named Philip, he calculated, he said, "It'd take 8 months of salary of a working man to give sufficient to just receive just a little bit of food. We don't have that kind of money, Jesus." And Andrew said, "There's a lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Then he added, "But what are they among so many people? They wouldn't even begin to feed them." And you know, those loaves that he talked about weren't big loaves of bread. They're more like a pancake. And the fish probably would have been a small fish. And you know, that was something that's all there is 2 fish. And then 5 little pancakes, so to speak. How can you feed this many people with that much food? Jesus was saying this to them to test them. He's just giving their disciples a test. We need to feed these people. Jesus was concerned that he didn't want to send them on their way home hungry. He wanted to feed them. And you know, Jesus took the little boy's lunch in John 6, 11 through 13. And he gave thanks. He thanked the Father. "We got to feed these people." And then they started distributing the food. Had everybody sat down and they brought them around food. And they all ate of the food, the pancake and the fish. And the people ate as much as they wanted. And that was a big crowd. The Bible tells us there's about 5,000 men besides women and children. So it could be somewhere 15, 20,000 people. Who knows for sure? But they were all filled with that little boy's lunch. And then Jesus said, "Gather up the leftovers." And guess what? When the disciples gathered up the leftovers, there was 12 baskets of leftovers. Remember how many disciples there is? There's 12 disciples. There was a basket for each disciple. And they're saying, "It's going to take so much money to do this." And what they was doing, Jesus was just letting them learn that he takes care of the needs of people. Now, he didn't need to feed them, but that was a blessing that he did feed them. Not only did Jesus feel good about that, but the disciples learned some wonders of what God, this one Jesus, was able to do. And you know, God wants us to learn from that story that he wants to take care of our needs. Now, if he could feed 15, 20,000 people with a little boy's lunch, don't you think he can do whatever he wants to do? I love this verse from the book of Philippians. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God says he's going to meet your needs and my needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. And we just seen the riches of Christ Jesus when we seen that he was willing to reach out and meet the needs of this big crowd of people. Now, if he can meet their needs with a little boy's lunch, he can meet your needs. He can meet my needs. And we just need to thank him and trust him for what he's able to do. As I think about this thought and as I've been going through the things that I've been going through, I'm not used to being home. I'm not used to spending my time just trying to get my strength back. And I got to be honest with you, it's been very difficult. I haven't been able to go to church for a couple weeks. I just didn't have the strength. So I listened to my own broadcast and then thought, man, I got to get that voice doing better. I'm glad it is doing a little better today. And we're hoping the things that I'm doing is going to help it to even get stronger. But you know something, folks? When you're going through a time like this in your own individual life, and then you're trying to share a message that God is concerned about your needs and about the things that concern your heart and mind. And sometimes you can have feelings, does God really know how I feel? Does God really know what I'm going through? And you know, we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, that is in heaven. And he was tried in every way like you and I have been tried. He went through so many things. And now while he's in heaven and being our great high priest and coming to the Father in our behalf, the Bible tells us he knows what it is when we're dealing with our handicaps. And that's what this feels like, our handicaps, when we're going through a difficult time in your life. You know, as I write this thought of this part of the message, I was not just writing so I could share the message. I was writing for myself. And I came across some verses that were all in the list, like, of things that tell us that God really cares for each one of us. And he's concerned about what we're going through, and that we need to know that. There were several that was listed in Isaiah. And you know, when God says something, when he makes a promise, no matter who he made the promise to, I believe we can claim that promise. God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't do one thing for one individual and then not do it for anybody. I believe God says individuals are individuals before me. And what I say to this person, I can say to you. So what he said over in the Old Testament, the words that he said to people then, I believe can be words that he says to me. I love what he said in Isaiah 41, verse 13. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, and I'll be saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I don't know about you, but I love that kind of verse when I'm going through the weakness that I'm going through. That is, God says, I'll take a hold of your hand, Ken, and I'll say this to you, fear not, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. I believe we need to trust that God is going to do those things for us. There's another verse from Isaiah as well. It is Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. Don't be intimidated. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I'll support you. Now listen, with my victorious right hand. God's right hand is powerful. And God said that to some people in the Old Testament. I believe he's saying that to me as I try to get stronger. He says, I like hearing those words. That coming from this God, he said, I'm going to be with you. Don't be intimidated by this fact that you feel so weak. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will support you. I'm going to do it with my strong right hand. And then another verse in Isaiah 43:2. When you go through the sea, I'm with you. When you go through the river, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through the fire, it will not burn you, and the flames will not harm you. God said, I am with you, and I want you to know that. Then a couple from the book of Psalms. The Lord says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I would advise you as my eye watches over you. Think of that. God's eye is watching over us as we go through these difficult times of our life. And then from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It means I shall not lack anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He said he ought to get a little break here. He leads me beside the still waters, and he leads me in these paths of righteousness. This is some of the things that God has promised that he will do. And I want to hold on to those things. I want to hold on to them as being a part of my life and what God has promised for my life in this difficult time of life. Then you might say to me, Pastor Ken, what is it we need to do? I found this verse in the book of 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Just get humble before him and say, Lord, I used to be able to do these things on my own strength. Now I can't. Listen to what he said. If you humble yourself, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's my message to you this morning. Cast all of your care upon him, because he careth for you. And we need to know that he does care for each one of us. And we need to thank Jesus that he cares for us and he's going to give us the strength that we need. You know, what we need to get a hold of is what God has promised he is able to fulfill. He will do what he has promised. And he wants us to know that he will do what he's promised. I want us to listen to a song that tells us about how God kept his promise to other people. God had promised many different things. And to different people, he kept his promise. And these men that we're talking about today, they're going to remind us in this song as soon as it gets ready to start. But it hasn't started yet. Let me do it one more time and see what it does this time. I'm sorry about that. Here we go. There we go. Lazarus is going to be the one that's going to speak to us this morning. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Bye-bye.
One day four men brought the crippled man to Jesus. Still and lifeless he lay upon his bed. He had not moved since he was just a baby. Still he longed to become a normal man. And now we don't know much about the men that carry the corners of his tattered bed that day. But if we may create an illustration, we'll see what these men might have had to say.
Suppose that first man said, I hate to doubt it, for Jesus touched my eyes when I was blind, and he made me see, and there's no doubt about it. But this man's needs are more serious than mine. Suppose that second man said, no need to bother, this man's condition will remain the same. Though Jesus touched my hand when it was withered, I don't believe he can heal a man so lame. Suppose that third man said, I hate to question, but no one here is more skeptical than me. Though Jesus cleansed me when I was a leper, this helpless man will never walk, you see.
Then every eye was turned to the fourth man to see how he might criticize and doubt. But all three men were startled with amazement when that fourth man stopped and said his name out loud. My name is Lazarus, it feels good to be alive. When I in chains of death was bound, this man named Jesus called me out. If you think your little problem is too big for him to solve, take it from the one who's heard the mighty voice of God, the living testimony of his death-defying touch. My name is Lazarus. Could I testify? My name is Lazarus. It feels good to be alive. When I in chains of death was bound, this man named Jesus called me out. If you think your little problem is too big for him to solve, take it from the one who's heard the mighty voice of God.